unbreakable bonds when life needs friendships. My best friend has often helped to remind me that I may be childless, but I'm not alone. The relationship I have with her also gave me family. This might get a little emotional, but stick with me. You might have noticed that I always endeavor to leave you with hope, even when we discuss the hard topics. If you want to fly, all you need is friendship. SpongeBob SquarePants. You came here for stories of resilience, after all. And at the end of my story about being childless, you may have reached a natural conclusion, but not a particularly hopeful one or an enduring one. Have I just kept my head down all these years? Relegated to childless activities? Piled on at work because everyone assumes that I'm career-driven? That this is the life that I chose? Well, that's happened in some situations and areas of my life. It would be dishonest and disingenuous to say that it is not. And it would not be being honest about the experience that many of us have likely shared over the years. However, many people would also likely assume inaccurately that I have not understood the unbreakable bonds of family or what it is to love a child more than yourself. I want to be there for every milestone, to worry, love, cry, hope at all the moments along the way. Because to assume I've missed all that would remind you what assumptions get you. With imagination, I can be anything that I want. SpongeBob SquarePants. Slip and Slide, the story of our unbreakable bond. Here's the story of how I met my best friend, and how my best friend and I became best friends with no embellishments, which she would verify if questioned. I really am this extra when I have a goal, and my goal was to get her out of that room. It was very late one night, and I flooded the hallway outside of her dorm room. Come for me, it's 27 years later. With an already half-broken water fountain to start a slip and slide. She flung her door open and glared at me. A reasonable reaction. I stuck out my hand and I said, "Don't be mad at me. Come with me." And then I wrapped both of my hands around her forearm firmly, and I slowly shimmied backwards as if there was a beat playing. And I said, "I'm lovable." And with an exasperated sigh, she stepped out and followed me as her roommate yelled to shut the door. And it was history from there. If you know her, you would know that in these few dicey moments that she was just as likely to hit me as she was to come with me. But I saw a kindred spirit in her, and so I took my chances. Quote-unquote fave niece, whom you will meet shortly, asked me recently if I would ever tell her mother that I intentionally flooded the hall to get her out of her room. As her mother walked by us, I asked her out loud, "Would you have left your room that term if I had not done that?" And she told me her roommate was nice. I turned and looked knowingly at Fave Niece, and we went about our evening. But I guess the cat's out of the bag now. Fave Niece loves SpongeBob. So these quotes that you're going to hear throughout this story, I'd remind you that everyone needs friendship to celebrate life's unbreakable bonds, and that wise words can come from unexpected places. You will never know the true value of a moment until it becomes a memory. SpongeBob SquarePants. The family you start with is not always the one you end up with. It really takes a tiny village to not only raise a child, but for any of us to function at all. You will never know how the relationships you have with people will impact them. After all, I fixed my friend up, my best friend and her husband up. I am the original sunshine. Or maybe not, but for the sake of history, I'd better be. After all others after me were mere copies, some of them more adorable than others. He will greet me with the salutation whenever he sees me, and this is whether he wants to hug me or quite the opposite. At the end of the day, he means it. And at the end of the day, I will always love him. How could I not? He helped bring about two of the most precious people in the world to me. My goddaughter and UGD, unofficial goddaughter, Fave Niece, as she has rightly told me she is to be called. Most people hear goddaughter or a non-blood related aunt and they think, who? Or that person who sends me a gift or a check twice a year, or maybe. or someone who was on the periphery of their life for a very short time early in, when they were young. We do not have that. I think she knew she was pregnant for about 2 seconds, and they were not telling on yet after a heartbreaking miscarriage. We were getting manicures and pedicures the day before my first wedding, which I had moved actually to accommodate her initial due date. She did nothing to tip her hand. I simply turned and looked at her and said, "You're pregnant." And she was so thrown off by my saying it that she just admitted it and swore me to secrecy. I may have been a little obvious when I knocked the drinks out of anyone's hands that dared to offer her a drink, but besides that, I was cool as a cucumber. Best friends never let you do stupid things alone. SpongeBob SquarePants. Keep your alibi close. She is my 2 a.m. get out of jail call, my standby alibi. We're probably the only two people in the world who know better than to listen to the other one when we say, "I'm fine, I don't need anything, I'll be okay," when we're truly hurting. Then the other person decides if that is true or if we are a hitch at the end of "I'm fine." And if there is, we grab the car keys, a few pints of Girl Scouts Thin Mints ice cream, and some Puff Puffs, with lotion, of course, we're not heathens, and then we head on over. You can choose to apologize later while holding the other person in a firm hug and staying clear of flailing punches, and plying the other with ice cream first. We are the only people in the world that we would allow such an impertinence of knowing exactly what the other person needs but will never ask for. If I am in a crisis or if I need to flee, I'm told that there is no question, that I don't need to call, just come. Just come in the house and say I'm here. If I ever go missing, she will find me. There is no question about this. It comforts me. Before my goddaughter was born, I was the Grinch. I will admit this easily. I can earnestly say that I did not know what genuine, unabating, would do anything to protect that creature my heart just grew 3 sizes love felt like until my eldest goddaughter was placed in my arms. To anyone who joked about my love for her then, still guilty 21 years later. I am grateful for every single minute I have with her because she is just such an almost indescribably special girl. I am so blessed to have been allowed to be part of her life. These unbreakable bonds have changed me. Close friends who knew me anticipated what it meant because I don't let many people in. But for those I do, my love is boundless. And for those three, there's no doubt they know the depths of my love. In fact, us all living together is a frequent topic of discussion, with some sometimes feeling I've done, with me sometimes feeling like maybe I've done too big of a job of impressing on them, know your worth, and ask for what you want. They remind me there's simply no reason I cannot pack a bag and be there immediately. I can work remotely. They have the room. They all want me there. We've worked through negotiations before that I will never have to sleep on the top bunk because that is an accident waiting to happen every single night. These are just theoretical bunk beds. We have discussed and dismissed it because I am a walking, talking liability claim. I believe a sticking point is who will let me put my feet, which are freezing year round, against them for warmth. So far, no takers in this negotiation. I don't accept their counteroffer of just wear socks, which it make my toes tiny prisoners 24/7, especially while I sleep. I don't think so. But I would consider a counteroffer and deal sweetener of once a week homemade gluten-free mac and cheese with pancetta. I could gladly meet our maker after helping, but I think they would send me back for a bowl for them. It's that good. I love bonding with my eldest goddaughter when she dyes my hair when I visit. We take about 4 times longer than is required. Over the holiday break, we're dyeing it purple as fuck with aquamarine tips. We're all excited to see how it turns out. We are Weird Barbie. If you want to be my friend, just be yourself, sandy cheeks. My eldest goddaughter is the most like me. Fave niece, she is my best friend. My eldest goddaughter and I, we are Weird Barbie. We are introverts and creative thinkers. I love how she lights up when I want to hear about her latest creative endeavors because she's so talented. I could just snuggle up and listen to her talk for hours. Like me, she leads with the heart, which I suspect is a lot for her sometimes, but being near her is a joy. She calms me. She once told me that spending time with me is like getting a dose of serotonin. Yet she doesn't realize that she has that same calm and loving impact on everyone around her as well. Just this past year, she asked her mother if it was possible that she was at least part biologically mine. Now, I was initially worried when my friend told me this story. However, it is this quality in her that I admire, the openness of her heart, her willingness to share it and them with me fully and not be jealous or territorial. It's always been this way. She wants them to love me just as much, while others might be jealous and insecure, and I would not blame them at all. But she just sees it as helping to lighten the load, to create our family, our tiny village. Our village stands stronger and more united than ever with a 21 and a 15-year-old. You're not that bright, but I still love you. This is accurate and endearing. We were exchanging messages recently when Fave niece and I told each other that we almost hurled. And I said, "Me too." And then we had to know why the other person almost hurled. She had run a challenging course at school. I had made Kraft gluten-free microwave macaroni and cheese at 5 a.m. because it was the first thing that I saw. She was accurate and endearing as always. The girls are the only girls that I know their age who are so open with affection and with I love yous, talking to me any time of the day or night. And I swear I am not the only one that initiates the communication, but I am good with a filter. And everyone would do well to use gorgeous. You're welcome. I rotate calling Fave niece, and I don't actually use Fave niece, that's just for the article. Sweetheart, sweet pea, baby girl, pixie stick, honey bun, baby doll, and bunny. Bunny is typically only one accompanied by a picture of me in a bunny filter. There are probably 175 times I've wanted to call her Monchichi because it means happiness, but I think the reference would be too dated and lost on her to fully appreciate because it started the year after she was born and stopped in about 2006. Let me also add that my darling girl is her mother's mini-me and thus allows me my over-the-top fun and ridiculousness, or she feels like it amuses me and allows me it because, like her mother, she would not abide this from anyone else. She is the mother hen, and I am the bad influence. The unbreakable bonds in this dynamic that I have with her mother continue with me and her in this new generation. Near the start of the school year, I knew there was some trepidation, so did I help her make sure that she was getting it on a proper sleep schedule or work on anxiety techniques? No. At 1:30 in the morning, if we're up, we talk about why the other's not sleeping. I asked her if she wanted some ice cream. She told me I just brushed my teeth. And I said, "That's quite a conundrum." She asked me, "What's a conundrum?" And I said, "A problem." And she said, "That makes sense." And there it was, as if she'd just always known it. She just absorbed it in all context into her being, as if she'd just always known it. Sometimes we have to go deep inside ourselves to solve our problems. Patrick Star. As a mother hen and an old soul, she is more concerned with how much I am sleeping, how much I am eating. And I have to be honest, I am scared of a scolding when I get it from her. I typically correct my behavior because her advice comes from a place of earnest love and concern. I genuinely think if you could harness the love and good intentions of the four of us, you might solve the power crisis. Maybe just statewide, but it's a good model. Unbreakable bonds are an amazing gift. Fave niece and I share a middle name. This was a gift to me, a truly special one, because I don't like my actual first name. I chose Nikki. Different story, different day. But I love my middle name. And I know that she didn't always love it, but I'm glad she's grown to. I'm not too proud to admit that I cried a few happy tears the night she messaged me and said she was glad they named her after me. I'm tearing up as I'm typing this. I have to be transparent about that, reader. Because it honors me that she feels that way. I'm crying now, reader, because I feel like the lucky one. They allow me in their lives so openly and without question, and they want me there for all the milestones. It feels weird if I'm not involved in some way. We joke that we know that we're in trouble when her mom full names us. There are times when she's full named and we're not sure that the infraction was that serious that I have to ask, which one of us do you think she's really mad at? To the point I asked my best friend once while carrying on a hilarious side conversation with between Faye, Niece, and I. I have to know, are there days when you're frustrated with Faye, Niece and a little frustrated with me? And you thought that you were such an evil genius that giving us a shared middle name, that you got a small level of I want to shake the fuck out of you energy with a single middle name? She swears no. We suspect yes. Well, it's no secret that the best thing about a secret is secretly telling someone your secret, thereby adding another secret to their secret collection of secrets secretly. SpongeBob SquarePants. That image above in that quote made me laugh so hard because my best friend will never have another secret in her life where I'm concerned because I get so excited about them that I blurt them out. If I have gotten her the perfect present, made something for her and the girls, or there is something I'm excited about that I have to share it. If I've done something she will love, if I, t I told her I was writing this weeks ago. And it moved her because I can't keep a secret from her if I think it might bring her happiness or joy. If I, it's like I can't wait to give that to another second to give that to her. So then by the time she's supposed to have that initial gift or joy, I must do more because I spoiled the initial gift. It all works out in the end. I always make amends. Also, how can I not constantly be trying to pay her back just a little of the love and happiness she's brought into my life with her and the girls? It's only fair. I'd be lying if I told you I tried to do better, because I can't and I won't. I may be childless, but I have been far from alone. I have photo albums full of trick-or-treating that we did over the years through all the ages, pictures hung all over the apartment throughout the years because my best friend is a prolific picture taker. When I mentioned the person that shot the picture of me holding my eldest goddaughter in the hospital literally captured love in that shot. People usually roll their eyes at me, and then they see the picture, and they see it too. From being so close to us to struggling to being so far apart, to them forgiving me for the hard times from pulling myself out of the depression after helping others meet their emotional needs during the pandemic, they didn't miss a beat. They just loved me, like they hadn't missed a moment. However, Fave Niece keeps me on my toes, ensuring that it never happens again. They drove up every winter to see me without fail, even though there was the bonus of the good malls. I love these trips, and I wish I could go back and create a million more memories. I look forward to creating so many more with them, and the potential these two young ladies have is mind-boggling. My best friend and I say that we're going to travel the country by RV, going from location to location with the girls, and I can't think of a more delightful way to spend the future. It's literally drawn in ink. Just this past fall, my best friend suggested we get tattoos together. We were both ready for something new, so she told me that I should design it, which is something that represents us. This is a lot of pressure, but I also knew that she would have tattooed anything I came up with and showed her and told me it was amazing because that's who she is. Luckily, she genuinely loved it. So, what did I design for our unbreakable bond? The word resilience in script with an ornate arrow. And ours and the girls' initials in birth order on top that run across the top of it, and that too, and the tattoos each of us have are mirror images on either of our arms. I can acknowledge now that the disagreement that I got into with a very nice, talented, and well-meaning tattoo artist was because he did not have time to do the initials. He did a wonderful job, but I promised the girls the tattoos would have this detail, and they had told their friends. I couldn't stand the thought of disappointing them. We left with two incredible tattoos, with all four initials, and an artist who won't take my calls. I get it. Win-win, I suppose. And that is lovely, and I'm sorry and grateful. I knew I wanted resilience to be the word I chose for us. This described us and from the times that we've survived so much together. I explained that in my work with at-risk youth, it didn't matter how many factors an individual has in the pros and cons column. Research shows one factor continually matters more than any other. Resilience. I said it almost instantly, and she knew that it was perfect. Helping others feel resilient and discover their unbreakable bonds. When one of the co-founders of this site and I discussed collaborating, she mentioned the name and asked what I thought. I showed her my arm and told her the story. It seemed like a sign, if ever there was one. I told someone tonight who congratulated me on the success of the site that I'm glad that it's something that the girls can see me help build and do, implying I hope that it makes them proud because I know they make me proud every day. The unbreakable bonds of friendship look like anything we want them to. We're family, and it's the one that we made. We're the people we need, the family we love dearly, who will see us each through the tragic events in our lives. While the first part of my story may have left you thinking that I had no guidepost, no reason, just an empty without, that you're not to ask without being for that couldn't be further from the truth. My life is full. I have a village. I may be childless, but I'm far from alone. Tell us about your unbreakable bonds. Tell us about the friendships in the section that we have below, and who offers you support and connection. With immense love to my best friend, OG goddaughter, and fave niece. I love you more than any of these words could ever express, and I know that you know that.